You know, so when the church started, announcements were at the end. Yeah, when I know. It's funny because there was a change. I think it was, 2009, 2010 is when we changed the format. We did announcements first, and we did the hug and mug. That was a change that Art announced. Before you would come in, we would worship, the lights would go down, video would come on, message, and then we would, and then announcements at the end. Yeah, yeah. So, Well, good morning, everybody. It's really good to see you this morning. How's everybody? Did you have an okay week? Was it busy? Was it full? I know mine was, but that's a good thing. God knows that if I have too much time on my hands, that it's not good. I get up to mischief. Been that way since I was a kid, so keeps me busy. Some announcements. So we had food bank yesterday, and we had, of course, wonderful turnout on both sides, on the volunteer side and on the food side. The amount of produce that we had was absolutely incredible, and good produce. I mean, mangoes and peaches, and we were concerned we were not going to be able to give away all the carrots, these bags of carrots that we had, and potatoes. Quite a bit of that stuff. And then, the folks from Monument View came at the end, and I mean, I don't know if you saw or if you have not yet, go take a look. They did the yeoman's work. They came through, and we emptied out all the fridges and freezers. Most of the stock in the big room was actually gone. We were actually, for the first time, we were actually worried that we were not going to be able to serve all of the cars, but God made it perfect. The last car in line got a full cart, and then we were empty. And then we loaded up the freezer stuff and the fridge stuff, and you'll see all the fridges and freezers are outside. They have a team that's going to come Monday to move those over to Monument View. So that is already in motion. And 276? Yeah, families that we served yesterday. So, yeah. It's funny. I had lunch on Friday with Pastor Sam from over at Monument View. Wonderful guy, absolutely wonderful. One of our people, for sure. And anyway, we were talking about this. He was an associate pastor before he became the lead pastor out there at Monument View. And we were viscerating a little bit because he said, "Man, he's like, you don't really know what it's like to be a full-time pastor until you do it." He said, "The associate pastor gig is pretty darn good. You know, you get to go in and you get to do kids stuff and you get to do men's ministry and you get to do, all these different things, and then you get to fill in, every once in a while. You get to come in and pinch hit, and then you get to go back to doing the other stuff." And he said, "You don't really know what it's like to get up there and do Sunday after Sunday until you have to do it." Well, that's true, but it's also true of any other ministry. When we talk about, food bank, it's hard to really stand firm on the promises of God to say, "I know God will provide. I know God will provide." Not, "I've read it, I think I believe it." No, "I know God will provide, and I know God will provide because I've seen it. I've seen it happen for 14 years, 13 years. We have seen God's provision pour in and pour out of this place faithfully, month after month, day after day, year after year. God is faithful, and we can stand firm on that. And the same thing that, we're closing a chapter today, but that's just all we're doing is closing a chapter. There's going to be a new page. We're going to turn the next page. And so we're excited. We should be excited about what's going to come next. I do have a quick announcement. I love these announcements. So, Nils, could you stand up for a second, brother? So, Nils is on the football team, and he's got the football cards, those discount cards that he's selling. So if you want one of those, and you should want one of those, they're great discounts. They are well worth the money. Please, he's got them with him, so he can get you taken care of right here at church and get those taken care of. So please, like I say, if you have the opportunity to do that, you should definitely do that. So for today, we're going to wrap up the book of Revelation. We're going to go chapters 10 through 22. And again, it's been quite a bit of time. I was wondering about what this message should be. And When I started this 5 years ago, the goal was again to go through, starting in Matthew and go through to the book of Revelation, and then go back to Genesis and go through the Old Testament and keep on going in that way. And I wanted to end on Revelation for a couple of reasons. Number one, because it is not the end; it's a new beginning, and it tells us that it is our hope. It's the truth about how things will come to pass. There's we're in the middle in chapter 10 in the decreation story. It's a great way to think about Revelation, is that you're reading about chaos. When you hear we're going to have all these weird images of statues and dragons and plagues and all this stuff, but it's a decreation story. There's a great parallel to Genesis, to the 6 days of creation, to the decreation before the world is made new. And those images of these beasts really are, they're agents of chaos, they're agents of disorder that God then brings order back out of and restores the earth. So it's an amazing story of victory. But I wanted again to wrap up with this, and it's right here in Revelation chapter 1. That's great. It says, "The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what it is written in it, because the time is near." That's why we want to go through this. Why Secret Church, like 3-4 years ago, was on the book of Revelation. It's one of the things David Platt was like, man, if you do nothing else in church, if you just read the book of Revelation, it is a promise. God promises something. He says, man, I will bless everyone who receives these words if they hear them. So that's exactly what I want for you guys. I want you guys to be blessed. I want everyone here to be saved, and I want everyone here to be blessed. So I just want you to know that's the driver before us. So let's pray, and then we'll plow through these chapters. I'll do my best, David Platt. I'll speed as fast as I can through it, and then we're gonna have some time at the end that we all get an opportunity to share. Got a little slideshow up here. We're actually gonna have some snacks, and we've got some dessert after church for us to mill around and have an opportunity to spend some time together. Please make sure that you've put your name and email address and phone number on the sign-up sheet at the back. That way, as we break up into the home groups and do that kind of stuff, that we can reach out to you and get those things coordinated. So we have your contact information for that, so please make sure that is there. So let's bow our heads and pray. Oh, we're gonna have communion. We got a communion today, which is, man, great, wonderful day. Father God, we are so thankful. We are thankful that we get to get together again in your name, that you have blessed us for so long with this place. You have called us in extraordinary and ordinary ways, and you have given us your Son, you have given us forgiveness, you have given us redemption, you have given us your word, and you have gathered us together as a family. And Father, things are changing for us, but one more time we're going to dive into your word. We just ask that you be with us. We've had this wonderful time of lifting up our voices to you, Father, and lifting up our instruments to you. And Father, man, I hope that was pleasing to you. Father, we know you're here. We feel your spirit. And we just want you to be pleased. We are seeking to be obedient to you. And so, Father, to that end, break us, open us, change us. Do whatever it is that we need to be pleasing to you, to be on your path, to be about your business. And we ask all of that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Amen. So again, we are we're going to kick off in chapter 10. That's where we left off last time. So let me page over. Loading. I would read from my book, but it's an NASB. It won't match what's up on the screen. So if the screens die, I'll go to the book. But otherwise, I'll try and match what actually is up on the screen. There we go. All right. It says, so then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll, which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. And when he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down. Then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants the prophets. Then the voice that I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go, take the scroll that lies open in the hand of the angel who was standing in the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel, and I asked him to give me the little scroll, and he said, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand, and I ate it, and it did taste sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about my peoples, nations, languages, and kings. I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar with its worshipers, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months, and I will appoint my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. They are the two olive trees and the two lampstands, and they stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. They have power to shut up the heavens so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying, and they have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Now, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower them and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the public square of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, some people from every tribe and language and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts, because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. But after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake, and the tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe has passed. The third woe is coming soon. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and with his temple was seen the ark of his covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a severe hailstorm. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the two wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with a torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, and 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshipped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opens mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe and people and language and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on part of God's people. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had 2 horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to eat up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters, and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of a harpist playing the harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they remained virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among mankind and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and the springs of water." A second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and its image, or for anyone who receives the mark or of its name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel who had charge of the fire came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe. The angel swung his sickle on the earth, gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass, glowing with fire. And standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and its image, over the number of its name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of God's servant Moses and of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this I looked, and I saw in heaven the temple, that is the tabernacle of the covenant law, and it was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. The first angel went and poured out his bowl on the land, and ugly, festering sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead person, and every living thing in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, you are just in these judgments, O Holy One, you who are and who were, for they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, and you have given them blood to drink as they deserve. And I heard the altar respond, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings for the east. Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are demonic spirits that perform signs, and they go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of the God Almighty. Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed, so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. Then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and out of the temple came a loud voice from the throne saying, it is done. Then there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a severe earthquake. No earthquake like it has ever occurred since mankind has been on earth, so tremendous was the quake. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of his wrath. every island fled away, and the mountains could not be found. From the sky, huge hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, fell on people, and they cursed God on account of the plague of hail, because the plague was so terrible. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits by many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." Then the angel carried me away into the spirit of the wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. And when I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and the beast she rides, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast, which you saw, once was, now is not, and yet will come up out of the abyss and go to its destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because it once was, now is not, and yet will come." This calls for a mind with wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 hills on which the woman sits. They are also 7 kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, the other has not yet come, but when he does come, he must remain for only a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is an 8th king. He belongs to the 7 and is going to his destruction. The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will wage war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called chosen and faithful followers. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to hand her over to the beast, their royal authority, until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth." After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. And with a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons and a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so you will not receive any of her plagues, for her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Pour her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torment and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit enthroned as queen. I am not a widow. I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day her plagues will overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. And when the kings of the earth, who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury, see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, 'Woe! Woe to you, great city, you mighty city of Babylon! In 1 hour your doom has come.' The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, and articles of every kind of made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and human beings sold as slaves. They will say, 'The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your luxury and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered.' The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe! Woe to you, great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. In 1 hour such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, 'Was there ever a city like this great city? They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, woe, woe to you, great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, you heavens. Rejoice, you people of God. Rejoice, apostles and prophets, for God has judged her with the judgment she imposed on you. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, with such violence, the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, pipers and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No worker of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's most important people. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of God's holy people, of all who have been slaughtered on the earth. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the heart of by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried out, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Then the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. And at this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you, and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, who his rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and the mighty of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. And with these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest were killed by the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him, to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand and on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and his place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 gates, 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure its city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement and was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night. The glory and God, honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Last chapter. Then the angel showed me the river of the waters of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will be there any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve them. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in his scroll. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your fellow prophets and with all who keep the words of this scroll. Worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you the testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And if anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. There it is. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. That's what we're asking for, is for God to be with each and every one of us. Rhonda gave me a couple of CDs of messages that Pastor Art had given back in 08 and 09. And one of the messages was about what is permanent. What is permanent? What things can we always take with us? And one of the things that we can take with us is those things about Christ, those things that we can firmly place in our hands. So before we take communion, there's one thing I would like to do, and that is I would like for us to recite the Apostles' Creed together, if you don't mind. That way, we have kind of a firm foundation as we go forward in the things that we believe, the things that we will always believe. Okay? Let's do this. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, he was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. If you need to, take that with you. Make sure you have a firm foundation with you as we go forward. Let's just bow our heads and we'll pray and we'll do communion and then we can fellowship. I'll open the mic up if anybody wants to come up and share anything. And then we have, like I said, we have snacks and we have a good time of fellowship that we get to close out with. Father God, man, the images that we get out of Revelation, they're hard and they're terrifying. And man, it rattles our bones, Father, reading about decreation and the end times and the cup of your wrath and these terrible beasts that deceive and condemn and destroy. Father, it's hard. It's hard to read about those things, but we also know the end. We also know that your victory is coming. Father, I hope that, first of all, we receive out of that what it is that you need us to receive. We are trying so hard to be on your path, Lord, to be obedient to you. So, Father, first of all, wash us. Make us clean. Forgive us for our sins. We all fell short this week, whether it's in anger or in laziness or in fear or in lust or greed or whatever it was that we fell to this week, Lord, please wash us. Wash our feet. Make us new that we could come to you once more. Father, please renew our hearts and renew our minds that we would be focused fresh on you. And then, Father, train us. We know that there are unpleasant things that we need to be rid of. We know that pruning isn't always pleasant, but we ask for it. We ask that you would get rid of those things in our lives and ourselves that are leading us away from you, that are not fruitful. And then, Lord, quite frankly, we would just like to be close to you just for a little while. And we know that you want to be close to us. So, Lord, we're just asking for that, that as we go through communion, that you would be close by us, that you would be with each and every one of us. And Father, please write your name, write your words on our hearts. Fill us with love for you and for each other, that we would not just hear these words, not just think them now, but that we would pour out love, that we would pour out love for you and pour out love for our brothers and sisters. We know we're going to fall short, Father, but please move us in that direction, that we will be more loving and more kind, Father. Our world has seemed so angry and separated, and I just can't help but think that even this small group of people, I see what we have done with your ministry, with the food bank, and I can't help but think that the love pouring out from this place can make a huge difference in our valley. So that's what I'm asking for, that as we go out of this place, that your love would pour into and out of us, and that we could pour love into our brothers and sisters. Amen. So we do communion. So we've got the elements up here. I'll move stuff out of the way. We'll come up in rows. Get the crackers and get the juice, and we'll go back to our seats. This is, it's the gifts of God for the people of God. Everybody is welcome. If you place your faith in Jesus, this is for you, and it's your time. So if you want to take the elements on your own, then do that. If you want to wait, once everybody is seated again, I'll read from 1 Corinthians, and I'll lead us if you want to do that with me. Okay. So, Carolyn, would you mind leading up from this side? And Barb and Larry, would you mind leading up from this side? And we'll get everybody coming through. All right. Yeah. We don't want to admit anybody. Did everybody get an opportunity to come up? Everyone? Okay. I remember the first time I did communion up here. Even now, I'm so stinking nervous. Like, this is like one of those things. Where it's like, man, you know, it's so important. This is one of those things that God asks us to do. He said, man, you know, at Acts 2:42, man, I respond to it all the, I read it all the time. But one of the things it says, man, break bread together. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. It's one of those very few things. You know, baptism and communion are really kind of those two things that, you know, after we become believers, Jesus asks us to do. And so I guess I just want to come to it new, come to it fresh this morning, because you know, Jesus went to the cross for us. He died for us. He redeemed us all. He gave us this free gift of salvation. He says, man, if you turn to me, if you come to me, man, I will save you. I will write your name in the book of life. I will. He said, man, I promise I'm faithful and I'm true. And you turn to me, I will write your name in the book of life. And then please, after you come to me, tell your brothers and sisters about me. Love them. Do these things that I ask you to do. And one of those very few things, he says, man, repent, give up your sins, be baptized, gather together, be committed in fellowship, read the book, read the apostles' teaching, and break bread together, remember communion, have these moments of celebration to remember my victory over sin and death. So that's what we're doing here. On the night of his betrayal, he took the bread, and he blessed and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, this is the new covenant, the new promise. And it's sealed in my blood. He said, do this in remembrance of me. He said, for as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Amen. So, Father, I'm going to pray one last time here, and then I'm going to open the mic up. And Father, I just want to thank you. You give us opportunities. You give us things that we never would have envisioned for our lives. You put us in places and give us relationships and things that, as Walt would say, man, it's high adventure. And we cannot thank you enough for the opportunity, Father, to serve. It's just blessing upon blessing upon blessing. It's blessing when we get to produce. It's blessing when we get to give it away. It's blessing when we receive. And it's blessing when we get to pass it on to others. And Father, we thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you for Canyon West. I thank you for this wonderful family. And Father, I cannot wait to see what you do next. Amen. Vernon? Is that a microphone over here, Nathan, or where is it?
Okay, thanks. The first thing I wanted to say is we're kind of the Johnny-come-latelys the Nobles are. We've only been here about a year and a half, I think. The thing I want you to know is that this is the first time in a long time as a family we've all gone together. We added a family member. Nathan got married to Lacey. And she's here today. But that snapshot in time of our family being able to be together and minister together, that hasn't happened in many, many, many years. And we really want to thank you for letting us do that while we're here, to kind of let us to do music and things like that and to be part of your fellowship. Many of you have had us over to dinner many times and that kind of thing. Becky back there has had us over many times, and we're very appreciative of those things. Another thing, and again, I know that I don't want to take up a lot of time, but Phil brought up Acts 2:42, and he's brought that up many times, and that it is important so that us as individuals, as we leave here and we do whatever it is we're going to do, we want to do those four things. We want to sit under good teaching. We want to have fellowship. And in that fellowship, we have to have a safe place that we can be ourselves, where we confess our sins one to another, where we can bear one another's burdens. And that is not somebody else's chore. We have to find those things. We need to find fellowship. We need to find teaching. We need to find a remembrance. And we need to pray. And all those things we need to build around us. I'd also like to say that the first day I walked in here, I went up to a gentleman that I was an acquaintance with, and I said, my son goes to this church. I don't know anything about it. What do you think? And he said, you'll never hear Phil say anything that is against the Bible. And I've never heard Phil say anything that was contrary to Scripture. And his humility is incredible. When he brings up the model of going through the Bible from one end to another, that's really humility. It's so easy to pick out the things that you know or maybe you're good at and just teach about those all the time. But to consistently cover a large span of a body of knowledge is amazing. And Phil's humility is fantastic. The last thing I want to say, it's a little more cutting in some ways, but it's something I want to encourage us as a body of people. It says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. This passage really talks about money, to be real honest with you. That's the topic. But in so many forms, we need to support our teachers. And this is not a committee thing. It says, let the one who's taught the word share all good things with... let the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with him who teaches. So it comes back to us as individuals. Do we support Bible teachers? And that's very important that we do that. And then he goes on and he says, do not be deceived, God's not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. In other words, keep the price tags in the right places. Do we support the teaching of the Bible, or do we support General Motors? Do we support the teaching of the Bible, or do we support Amazon, or whatever the case? whatever the case is. And again, that's kind of that's not a warm and fuzzy, but it's something we want to keep in mind. And I just want to pray real quick. Lord God, we thank you so much for Phil and all he did here, and Nathan and Barb and Larry and Vern and everybody else, and Ron, Doug. Lord, we thank you for the servanthood that they showed. And we thank you that this body fed a lot of people, spiritually and physically. And Lord, we do pray that you would bless Phil for all his work he did every week. Bless his family. Lord, bless that family, Lord. Bless Amanda and Nathan too. Lord, bless their family. And Lord, put each of us in this room where you want us to be, where you want us to labor. Lord, we're all too busy. And we pray you help us to find some margin to help the marginalized, Lord. Father, please give us margin so that we can help the marginalized. Amen.
Okay. I'm not sure I can get through this. But I wanted to share, the first time I walked in those doors, I was just me, and I sit over here somewhere. And this beautiful black lady come up, gave me the biggest hug, and just showed her love so much. And I never seen her again. And I thought, this church has angels. And I have learned since, Frankie, Jill, so many of you have that touch of the angels that have touched my life. And there is so much love in this church. I'll never forget any of you. Thank you.
Bear with me, I might not get through it. I don't know how to run. Just hold it up. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciated Phil stepping in for Art and his family. I mean, this has really meant a lot to me, and I'm sorry. But I just wanted to let you all know how much I appreciated this family, the church, and our pastor and his.
I'm pretty loud, so I'm not going to do that. I know you guys are shocked, but we were not here from the beginning. I wish we had been. I've been to church all my life. I was told to go to church. I felt obligated to go to church. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's the first time I wanted to come to church. And it's because of each and every one of you that I am so grateful and blessed for. I still remember when Pastor Art went up to one of my children and put his hands on their face and put his forehead on their forehead. The amount of love that man and every single one of you has shown my family, each and every one of us, from the time that they were little until how they are now. Their friends, our friends who came with us. I will repeat that. The amount of love in this building is amazing. You guys have supported and prayed over our home. We were baptized in the river, and I'm so grateful for the Mon family for getting us here. Thank you for bringing us here. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship and love on Jesus with all of you. And thank you guys for being patient with me as I ruin that.
Thank you for letting me get baptized.
Oh, we loved it. We've been doing a lot of praying. At some point, we will be doing worship at the Berry Patch. We will be doing another Bible study at the Berry Patch. You are my family, and that's what I'm going to miss. So I want to make sure that we continue to see each other. And to Brooke and Phil and the boys, my goodness gracious, what you did was monumental. You sacrificed so much. Unexpectedly just jumped right in both feet. And you guys are such a wonderful example of leadership and love, not just to us, but to Christ. You are such wonderful examples, and I thank you so very much. So very much. And I love each and every one of you so much, as do my family. Thank you for that.
I don't even feel worthy enough to stand in this presence of right here. Phil, Art, and some of the others that have been here. If y'all would have known me when I was growing up, you would have been like, whoa, get away, you little Satan. But with my father-in-law that used to be here and his family that pulled me in and loved me so much. And then when we started meeting at the high school, and seeing Art again, because I'd known him from the other church and how he was. And he just kept, come on, come on. And he pushing me. And before you knew it, I was teaching classes over there. I'm like, really, you want me teaching these kids? But you all always show me so much love. And nothing's put a smile on my face better than coming through that door. I have the worst day ever. Come through that door and see Ed and Walt and all you wonderful people. But what keeps coming to me is and then that song about the love and Art used to always tell me, isn't it great to just think about it? God loves you just as much right now as it does tomorrow, the day before, 10 years ago, 20 years from now. He loves you the same all the time. I don't even know if I can read this. But Corinthians 10:13 talks about how he won't put you through more than you can take. And I'm a firm believer, and he's got a sense of humor, and he's still trying to teach me something. And I am a slow learner. So, but thank you all for being a family. And I hope we can still somehow keep meeting and getting together in our crazy lives. Like, they just keep getting on. Can't believe how big they keep getting. But thank you all for believing in me, and thank you for all. And thank you, Phil, for all the sacrifices. Love you guys.
I just want to say, for those I've met, for those I haven't, one of my first memories was coming to this church. And, you know, I've been to many, you know. Same thing with my mom. We've been through many, good and bad. But this place has always been a home to me. And I'm sad that the year I leave for college is the year that it ends. Because I was always ready to come back on breaks and be like, see my family again. And I'm sad that I don't get to see it here. But I know that no matter what, I will see you guys again. Because I remember doing all those weird insect stories that Art would always get us to do. And I was obsessed with them. And everybody I've met here has had an impact on me. And you've changed me for the better, you guys. And I'm going to miss all of you so much. So thank you for being a part of my childhood and a part of my life for as long as you guys have. And, you know, see you guys again someday. Come back, I swear. you know, I'm gonna miss you guys. Thank you guys for all the love you've had for me and my family and helped us get through a lot of hard stuff. So thank you guys.
We all know I don't need that. So, there's so many stories, and I mean, I don't have a very good memory, but I can just look at people and remember certain things that I've gone through, that I've had hugs, and you just could have had me and my family, even my voice, everything, through it all. And it's been many years, and I've grown close to so many of you. Like, this is family, food bank family, that I didn't even know was coming. Apparently Art and Barb knew. And so it is, you know. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And I never planned on being up here. I never planned being able to do this and speak like I can speak and have the courage and the strength and the wisdom that He's given me. I'd never have done it if you didn't say, come on up, it's open arms, we're starting new. And Sojourn joined us in just so many steps that have taken place throughout the years that has led us where we are now. It's been an amazing, amazing journey and along our path, and it's going to keep going. I truly believe God's going to bring us back together where we need to be, how we need to be. Phil and Brooke, all that you've done for each and one of every one of us in standing up and taking over. You could have easily walked away and said, I can't do that, we're not ready for that. And you didn't. And I love you all. And I hope that you all know that you know where I'll be. Where Food Bank is, I'll be. So I hope to see each and every one of you at some point.
Hi there. Sorry. I would just like everyone to notice that I was perfectly fine up here this morning until Nate started. So even though I have, to be honest, been struggling over the last few weeks, every time we do worship, I start looking at all of you and start thinking of something, some memory pops up, and pretty soon, Chris, worship is always, is my, and I think it is for a lot of us, when my heart is most tender in the first place, and then I would start thinking of a memory and the time that we've all been together and things that have occurred, and pretty soon I'd be, you know, weeping a little bit and choking up, not being able to sing very nicely at the moment. But today I had decided that this was going to be a celebration of all that this church has, all that God has done through this church. And so we were reminded by Pastor Jason a couple weeks ago that the church is all of you, and it's not this building, and it's not this location. It is all of you and the people whose lives were touched through the years by Canyon, First Canyon West Worship Center, Canyon West Church being here. And I was just thinking, I'll just tell you a little story about how God very clearly orchestrated the existence of this church in the first place. And it was not what I was planning. I don't think it was what Art was planning initially. And we actually had started a church that was over in Clifton called New Hope Fellowship, ended up merging with Faith Community Church, and David Pretlev was the senior pastor at that time. Then David and his family were moving to Reno to start a new church, and Paris Wallace ended up being called up to be the senior pastor at Faith Community Church. When the church was merged, Art was the associate, became the associate pastor, and David Pretlev was the senior pastor. then David was called to Reno to start a church there, and Pastor Paris Wallace came to be the senior pastor at Faith Community, which eventually they changed the name to Connection Church, and that is the Connection Church that is in existence today, or some form of it. But so we were sitting in church, and Pastor Paris was giving a message, and he was talking about going out and doing things that we thought we would never do, and he was talking about missions specifically. They were talking about going to the Philippines and doing some things, but for some reason, I just started thinking about that and praying about that and reading the scripture that he used, and God just brought to my mind, are we supposed to do something else? Are we supposed to step out and do something other than what we're doing here? We had started New Hope and traversed that path and ended up, like I said, merging with Faith Community. And at that point in time, I thought our planting churches days were behind us. And we were just going to sit and relax a little bit because now Art was an associate pastor, not a senior pastor, and we could take life a little bit easier, had two children to raise, and thought that was going to be the deal. And then I was sitting in that sermon, and God started, I don't know how you guys, you know, how God speaks to each of you, but just started reading the scripture and then hearing this, what if you're supposed to do something else? What if you're supposed to step out and do something else? And I thought, no, nope, I don't think so. I don't think we are. And then I, you know, God doesn't let us go that easily. And he said, well, so, but I didn't say any of this to Art. And so we were, Art is my late husband, by the way, not my ex-husband. Just like to correct. It's good. Yes. Anyway, but so, you know, I thought, well, I'm just going to keep this to myself because I don't want to cause any consternation if I, and I was processing this and thinking this through. Ladies that are in my Bible study have heard this story before, but so I'm thinking and praying, God, is this, what do you have in mind here? What do you really want? And then, I don't know how, maybe a couple weeks later, Art said, you know, God's been talking to me a little bit. I'm wondering about starting a church in Fruita. And I thought, oh, great. So then I had to say, okay, well, God's been talking to me too, so I guess we're on the same page. And we started meeting with Pastor Frank and Wendy and some of the other families, Ron and Jill, and some other families that have since that passed through here and are other places now, Brent and Tina Jones, and I'm sure I'm not even remembering everybody, but we started meeting and talking about starting a church in Fruita. And that is how we are here today. So God, it was God's hand all the way. It was not on anybody's, it was not anybody's plan, other than God's. It was God's plan, obviously. But the rest of us were a little taken by surprise, I think. And God blessed it. And we grew quickly. And now here we are. And Food Bank was born. We've gone through lots of trials and wondering what was going to happen, what if we were going to be able to continue financially, and those sorts of things over the years, but God was faithful, as we all know that he is, and he brought all of you to us at different times and places. Some of you at the very beginning, and some of you, you know, in the middle, and some of you just in the last little while, and it's all sweet and precious, and it has been an honor to worship with you all, to go through your ups and downs alongside you, pray with you. Charlene Thompson and James Thompson are a fan. Their family has been with us, and she actually sent me a note to share with you all, so I need to do that before I lose my train of thought. She said, "I don't know if you'll get this while you're still in church, but if you do, please let everyone know we have been blessed beyond measure by this church family." She said, "I don't do well with things like this, and I'm struggling a bit. Otherwise, we would be there, but we are watching." So I assume she means on the live feed, you know, not that they're stalking us or anything. But just kidding. But anyway, I just want to thank you all for the honor that that we have had to be a part of your lives. And you know, when Art passed away, I just commend the elders so much. And then, of course, Brooke and Phil, when they just went to Phil immediately. And Art had been, you know, bringing Phil along, and Phil was associate pastor in Deeds, whether I don't remember if he actually had that title or not, but it was understood, kind of, at that point, that that was Phil's, that Phil was, Art had that position and was thinking about Phil and bringing Phil alongside. And, you know, Phil spoke one time, I think it was on Father's Day, and after he spoke, I told Art, "I think Phil might be called to the ministry." And he was like, "Yeah, okay." I said, "You can tell him I said that if you want." But, of course, none of us foresaw, again, how that would happen. But the elders just moved quickly and went to Phil and Brooke and said, "Will you do this?" And they honored all of us by saying yes, they would. And we have been blessed and honored to have them and their family lead us for this time. And our church averted so many things that could have happened, and that we've all probably seen happen in other churches when senior pastor is abruptly gone. And so we have been truly, truly blessed, and Phil and Brooke have just listened to God and done amazing things and made huge sacrifices. And I just want them to know how much we feel blessed and how much we want to bless them in what they agreed to do for these last 5 years. And so, and again, I just want to tell you all, it has been an honor to be in this building with you and to be a part of this family. So thank you.
I don't talk in front of people very well because I get really nervous and my brain turns to mush. But It has been a pleasure, and sometimes, you know, it seemed like a huge responsibility to come here every week and make sure that everything is right and all that, but I had very little to do with that. Phil and Nate and all those other guys, they took care of things really well. And yes, we were here at the beginning, and I've seen a lot of people come and go, and some of them hurt when they would, you know, wander away. But I also know what a blessing it is for all of them, even after they leave and everything. And some of the mentors and things that have been through this house, I think of Rick, and I think of just many, many people that we've known throughout the years. But the thing that I can take away from this is that I know that there's a season for everything. When this place first opened, I thought, well, with Frank and Art preaching, this is going to be the next big mega church in the valley. Well, it didn't happen that way. We just kept loving God and trying to do the best thing that we could. But it wasn't meant to be. We were just meant to be this loving little family that we've had and we've seen around. But I want to thank you all for just showing up every day with your love and your bright faces and all that. But the season's over for this family, as it is. And so we'll move on to the next season, and we'll hold our heads high, knowing that we are being who God wants us to be. So that's all we can do. We love you guys.
Sorry. One more thing. One person who has been the constant through the whole time that this church has been in existence, who has served faithfully, quietly, and I know she will hate that I'm doing this, but I would like for us to thank Jill Eccles. She agreed to be the administrator when we started the church, agreed to be the administrator of the church on the condition that she would pay all the bills first, because she didn't want to have to do that juggling thing. And she has been faithful in all of that. And to the best of my knowledge, this church has always been perfectly faithful and paying every single bill and every single debt that we have had, and it is in large part because God put the exact right person in that spot for us, and she has served as a competent counselor to Art and to Phil, I'm confident, and to me, and to Brooke, and to Nate, and all the people that have served in this church. Like I said, Jill is the one constant who has been here from day one, and she deserves honor and blessing for that, for her willingness to serve.
Anyone else? Anyone? All right, well, Miss Kelly has been so wonderful. She's actually bought us pizza. So we've got pizza and we've got crisp, and we'll bring those things in here in just a moment. I've got a slideshow that we'll put up on here because we haven't cried enough today. So I'll close with prayer, but I do want to say some thank yous real quick. So first of all, thank you, Rhonda. Thank you for everything. Thank you, Vernon. John Kyle's not here, but thank you. Doug's not here. Thank goodness he's off in Europe. He texted yesterday and this morning as well. I don't know what the time difference is between Europe and here, but clearly he was setting an alarm and making sure that we knew that he was on, we were on his mind. So thank you, Ron. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Miss Jill, thank you. Brother Nathan, could you come up here? Come on, man. Love you. Thanks for not getting mad at me when I mess up every Sunday. Maybe. I know, but the one person who works tirelessly and has put up with me saying yes to everything, when I step out and open my mouth in every big way and I dream things that I can never execute, things that I want to do that can never come true, the one person who puts up with it and makes it happen is my beautiful wife. And thank you. So, again, thank you all. It has been an honor and a privilege. I look forward to seeing us all on what comes next. Please make sure contact info is on that sheet in the back, and let's hug and mug, as Art would say. Let's do that, and we'll have some pizza and share some memories and all of that stuff. Let's pray. Father God, again, thank you so much for Canyon West. Thank you for classrooms and, man, all of the many blessings you've given us, the potlucks and the men's and the women's and the food banks and the missions and the addiction recovery groups and the Girl Scouts and all of the many folks that you have sent through this building. And thank you for this group of people that is your church. Father, we are thankful in every single way, and we are blessed in every single way. And we just, man, as we go out, please, man, give us your love and send us on to the next great thing. Give us courage and strength and all of those things that we need, that as we go forward, we can, man, that somebody somewhere that needs you. Father God, that I know there's so many people out in our valley that that don't know you, that aren't sitting here today, that don't have the gospel. Father, as we go out, please, Father, send us to share the gospel with someone this week. Amen.